Yes, it is that time.
Hootie hoo. If you don't know,
now you know.
You're about to find out. I am Kirk M. Samuels.
And I am Jason B. Kendrick.
And we are the madmen of masculinity.
That's right. We're just real men having real conversations for you.
Dude, it's been a hot minute.
Hot minute. I thought we broke up, man. It's been a while.
I just can't quit you, man. I can't quit you.
That's a little creepy. I appreciate the sentiment, man. But it's still a little creepy.
You know it ain't creepy. You know you like it. You just want me to say it softly in your ear, man.
That's even more creepy. It kind of, it gave me the chills, but not the good ones.
Yeah, whatever, man. Man, it's been a hot minute, dude.
I know. It's been, you know, man, I go out of town for a minute. You replace me with somebody.
Right. You went out of town. Chronologically speaking here, you went out of town. What happened, man? Who was in here?
It was, Zach was in here.
Zach was in here.
And then you had a storm come in.
We about to get up in all that.
Yeah,
and then a couple weeks, man.
Yeah, we had Adam Feuerstein come in and fill in for you, man, last week.
It's been a minute, man.
It's been a minute. So
I saw you about to have a episode released on the Forge.
I think next week on the Forge will be my episode. So if you want to see us on a different platform, go check out the Forge on Spotify.
Boom.
And all the other podcast platforms, because Adam's doing good things over there.
I was doing his thing, man. You know what, man? I've had a rough couple weeks.
You have. That's
We're about to get into this, man. I've had a rough couple weeks.
We are always here for y'all. We're always here doing our thing. But, right. You know, just like everybody else, we have storms of life and things happen. And I'm telling you, I leave for a week and go do my thing, just have a little vacation, go hit up Arizona. Then I come back and my man here just, dude. Let's get into it a little bit.
It's been a minute, man. Because the deal is, like, a lot of men go through stuff, right? And a lot of times when we go through stuff, we have a tendency to go through stuff in isolation,
mm-hmm.
right? We have a tendency when we deal with stuff, you know, to kind of go inside the cave, inside our head, inside our heart, inside all that kind of stuff, man. And a lot of times, man, we think that we're the only ones. And when we do that, we get isolated, we get cut off. And you know, we're all about putting our stuff out there. We're all about, you know, kind of speaking through experience, man. And this last couple of weeks has been a doozy.
It has. I mean, and it's one of those things where I wish there was more I could do. I know all the other guys did, but I think just the way you handled it and, you know, asking for support and doing the opposite of what most of us do as guys, because most of us, you know, we grab on to that, oh, I got to do it all myself, I got to suck it up, I got to be the man, and then we end up taking ourselves out or making ourselves sick because we don't ask for support, we don't have that outlet, we don't let our boys come in and support us, even if there's nothing physically they can do, getting it out there and be like, hey, I'm struggling right now, or even if I'm not struggling, this other thing is going on and I'm dealing with it.
Long story, a little bit shorter again. Without getting all into the business, because y'all don't need to know all my business, especially even all my wife's business, because I don't even know some of y'all like that. But
I don't know you like that.
But family-wise, you know, wife had some issues. You know, we, because I was there too, ended up being basically in the hospital for a couple weeks, and it involved some surgeries and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, pretty serious stuff. I mean, you know, at the same time, you know, it could have been, you know, it could have been a whole lot worse in terms of stuff that other people were going through in the same building. But either way, it was challenging for us, man. And like I said, literally a couple weeks in the hospital. It was not cool, man. I had that one of the dark periods of the dark night of the soul kind of experience, man. Of like, man, I want to be here for my wife. You know, but man, you know, I'm feeling a little bit inadequate. You know, maybe I don't know what to do. You know, maybe I should just be quiet and just shut up. Nobody cares. You know, maybe I just deal with it myself, ourself, all that other kind of stuff, man. It's, you know, it's kind of tough from a guy perspective when you look over and you see your wife just wincing in pain and on all kinds of meds and all that kind of stuff. And so yeah, man, long story short, couple weeks in the hospital, man. And it wasn't pretty.
No, it didn't sound pretty. It didn't look pretty. I know we were, me and all the other guys that you reached out to on our, we had our, one of our B-men and the whole group of guys, you know, kind of tech streams, and he was giving us updates, and it was nice to know what was going on. I know it was frustrating for us because all of us were like, what can I do? What can I help? Like, you want us to come down there and bring some swords and, you know, whatever, and try to, like, some whips and whip them into shape and get some work done, but it was nice to know that we could feel some sort of, you know, like we were doing something. We feel like we were had some kind of support for you because you were reaching out and letting us know what was going on. And I know for me, it was like, I wish I could do more. But if this is all I can do, you know, say some prayers and wish you the best and be there for you. I mean, I know it was kind of one of those things for all of us because it was like, okay, we're going in the emergency room, probably be out tomorrow. And then it was like, oh, nope, I'm going to be here another night and another night. And it just kept on going until it was like, man, and I know I was like, aren't you in the hospital? Aren't there like doctors and nurses? Like, aren't they supposed to be fixing you? You know, aren't they supposed to be helping her? And we're just like, do we need to come down there and bust some heads? Like, what's going on? And, you know, to be in there 2 weeks, I mean, that's – and hospitals are not fun places to be. I avoid them like the plague for the most part because trying to sleep in there, trying to eat in there, trying to do anything in a hospital is not cool.
Yeah, and, you know, when you're dealing with the whatever the issue is that has you in the hospital, then when you're dealing with, you know, sometimes, you know, things don't go the way you think they should go. Sometimes you may not feel like you're getting the right levels of attention, or you're feeling heard, you're feeling all these other kind of things. Okay, what's next? You know, when you're dealing with all these things, man, it can just be coming at you, you know. And like I said, I wasn't the one hooked up to IVs. You know, I wasn't the one in the bed. So at the same time, you know, there was the, you know, I want to do something. Mm-hmm. You know, this is my wife. So I'm just wondering, though, like, especially, you know, I'm thinking right off the rip, man, in this first segment here, maybe. Why do you think guys do the going inside kind of thing? Why do you think we get quiet? Why do you think we, you know, why do you think we just kind of want to shut it down and just kind of go inside with the whole thing?
Yeah, I think it's training. I think it's societal pressure. I think it's just our experiences, because a lot of times, you know, as young men, once we start to get to puberty age, we start getting all those lessons like suck it up, be a man, you know, don't stop crying, all that stuff. And then we get out in the world and maybe we attempt to express ourselves and we give that first chance to some girl. And usually it's a young woman who doesn't have the proper training either. And then we get shut down. And then it just starts this domino effect of, oh, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to express myself. I'm not going to let anybody know. And then so we start to shut it down. We start to isolate. And then for most of us, I know in my experience, it took probably 20 something years to get to a point where it's like, maybe I shouldn't do that. I had to be a grown man to realize that the way I've been handling things was probably the opposite and the wrong way of the way I should be handling it.
First of all, I think if you listen to this and you've been through a storm, you know, we'd love to hear a comment or something like that about something you know, a lesson you might have learned, or you know, some experience like that, some experience that you had and what you took away from that whole thing. You know, I think for at least in my case, and again, this is not, I'm not trying to make the whole experience like about me in terms of I was the one in pain, but this is man stuff, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking, you know, from a man perspective. And if there's a man, I know, you know, somebody else I know, man, he watched his wife wither away from cancer and die, and, you know, in front of him kind of thing. And, you know, so on and so forth. And so, you know,
you talk about another man perspective. Most right. of us would rather be in the bed right. or in the ground than watching our loved ones yeah. go through that.
Yeah. And I can tell you that right off the bat, my first thoughts were, nobody's going to care, man. You know, people don't want to hear what I got going on. I mean, I don't know if that's a cultural default or what, but in my case, that was kind of one of the things that I kind of had to get over in the very beginning of just thinking like, or just the internal conversation of, does anybody even care?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we as guys tend to go that way because we think, well, nobody's going to care, because we have so many experiences out in the world where all we hear is nobody cares, work harder, suck it up. And then when it comes to these things, we just assume that's how it's going to go. And even though we, you know, being the guys that we are, trying to develop community and working with all these other groups and doing those things that would make us more healthy men, would make us more healthy masculine, we still have those voices in our head. We still have that voice in our head. It's like, nobody's going to care. Keep it to yourself. Shut up. Yeah.
And I think that's it's a sad narrative, man, but I think it's true. I think, you know, definitely 51 out of 100 men have a tendency to go through stuff, and we almost default to going through stuff alone. Maybe, you know, a lot of that, out of that 51, maybe there's, you know, 27 of them that think nobody cares.
Yeah.
That nobody cares what I'm going through, and so, you know, I might as well just deal with it myself, and we go quiet. And again, you know, then we, you know, in the extreme cases, we get to the point where you got high cancellation rates because guys are going through stuff alone and we don't deal with stuff together.
Yeah, and I think you getting over that voice and reaching out and just letting us know, I mean, I think that lets some of that steam out, that lets some of that pressure out, and just having that outlet, because so many guys, until they go to do the work or until they find a group of men to give them that support to say, hey, let us know. We care. We want to know. And it's not a, you know, big brother, little brother thing where I'm going to make fun of you. It's not one of these things where we think it's all comedy and whatnot. Like, it's serious business. And when you have that group of guys around you, we're all in the same boat. We all kind of felt the same thing. Like, we didn't know what to do, but we wanted to do something. And if all we could do is be there and support you and say prayers and wish you well and, you know, offer to bring food or whatever, that's what we did. I mean, that's all we could do. But I know in my experience, I guarantee if we ask all the other guys, they would be like, I wish I could have come and done more. Mm-hmm. And that's what we don't allow so much as guys when we try to suck it up, when we try to isolate, when we try to tell ourselves nobody cares. We don't give those other men in our lives the opportunity to be supportive. And that's one of the things that most of us men, I know for myself especially, I'm craving. I'm craving being able to support other people because I don't have enough of that in my life. So having people who will just say, hey, I'm struggling or this is what I'm going through, giving me the opportunity just to do something for them. It's a lot of guys nowadays, we're so programmed to provide. We're so programmed to protect, and we don't have as many outlets anymore. And I think some of us are suffering from the fact that we don't have those support systems, or we don't want to have a system that allows us to support. And so having guys around who'd be like, who are honest and just like, hey, I need a little support right now.
And I think, man, that is a profound point to end on here in this point anyway, of just you don't realize how strong your circle is because you don't open up to your circle and allow them to support you. It's easy for us to think we're alone and isolated because we suffer in silence. But it's when you begin to open up and when you begin to reach out that you realize, like, you know, man, I got a good circle, man. I got a good, especially if you do have a good circle of guys, that's when you allow the cream to rise to the top. And that's when you allow, you know, the real soldiers on your battlefield, you know, to come to your aid kind of thing. But it doesn't do you any good to take shrapnel on the battlefield and to lay there in silence. Because if you lay there in silence, people think you're a casualty and you ain't even alive no more. But it's when you scream out for help that you allow your brothers in the battle to come get you, whether it's carry you off, whether it's to give you a shot of morphine or a tourniquet or whatever it is, you know, that's when you allow. So, yeah, when you open up like that to a circle of people, you give people the gift of saying, you know, hey, I'm here for you and I'm here with you. And you realize that the circle can be strong. Speaking of strong.
Let's be strong.
Let's be strong on this break.
All right. Mad Men of Masculinity right here on KLDC, 1220 AM, the Mile High City. We'll be right back.
Boom. Tanner, you're doing a great job, man. I just want to let you know that. Just seeing that new haircut of yours makes me feel better, man.
High speed, low drag. We like that.
You're looking pretty sharp, man. They told you look good?
Well, you
you look great, man. I just want to let you know, man. Yeah.
Tanner feels like he's at the strip club where she's like, yes, I like you.
Yeah. No doubt, man. No doubt, doubt. We realized today, man, I got a pop-up on Facebook a year ago today. We were playing golf.
Yeah.
I don't know where we were, but we were wearing long sleeve and jackets. Probably Kennedy.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. He brought that up. Like, hey, we were playing golf last year this day. I was like, I ain't crying. You're crying. We hadn't played golf yet. No, I guess we did. We played in February or January. Sure, yeah, we played at Willis Case.
All right.
So make sure while you guys are watching us chop it up and talk nonsense behind the scenes, make sure to like and subscribe.
Boom. Don't cost you nothing. It's free this month.
We made it free all year.
All year?
All year. We're going to make it free all year. See what
happens when I leave? You make it free all year, man. That's why I can't go nowhere, dude. You're giving away everything.
Yeah, OnlyFans is still $4.99.
You want that OnlyFans because this you're talking about behind the scenes. Talking about Brokeback. Ooh.
See, you can't let this man go hang out in the hospital for 2 weeks. He comes back broken.
I can't do it.
He comes back wrong. He's just wrong. Well, before we get too wrong, let's come back.
We're back.
Yes, we are.
Mad Men of Masculinity.
Right here on KLDC.
12:20 a.m.
Here in the Mile High City.
Mile High City. You know what I'm saying? On the interwebs, everywhere. Mile High City, home of the NBA champion and soon-to-be two-time champion, Denver Nuggets.
Are they doing that good?
I don't know.
I haven't been paying any attention.
Something like that. But, you know, it's playoffs, man. When you get in the playoffs, then whole new season.
All I know is that I went to Comedy Works Friday night and didn't think about where I was driving, and the Nuggets got out right as I was leaving, and it took me 15 minutes to get from Spear back onto 25, and I was like, I hate my life.
And I think they lost that night, too.
They must have, because people were rude.
Speaking of loss, our Rockies, they got what do you call it, mercy ruled, I think, or something like that.
Oh, really? Yeah. I thought they didn't start until next week.
No, man, I saw an article or something like that.
Are they preseason?
I think the Diamondbacks just, put 50 on them or something.
That didn't
like
count. That's preseason.
Oh, is it?
That didn't count. Because I think the opening day is next Friday or the Friday after.
Our opening day.
Yeah, our opening day.
But it could have been their opening day already.
Oh, man.
We'll look it up.
We're starting off good here.
By the time of the end of the show, we'll look it up. We'll figure out what it is.
Come on, Rockies.
We're talking about – speaking of surviving storms.
Yeah.
Speaking of surviving storms, it's baseball season in Denver, Colorado, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we're surviving.
Surviving a several-month storm. But anyhow, we're talking about, you know, when we go through stuff and, you know, some of the ins and outs of going through things, man, going through battles, going through storms, just surviving these storms. And sometimes it is surviving. You know, I'm not even going to lie. People, you're not supposed to survive. You're supposed to thrive. Yeah, but you got to survive before you thrive.
I tell you what, you try to thrive in the middle of a tornado. If you don't strap yourself down, I can fly. I'm thriving. Look at me. I'm flying. Yeah, we'll see you, Dorothy.
Yeah, that ain't cool at all. But so when you go through stuff, man, you know, you got to be able to open up to your circle, man, and you got to be able to let people in and let people support you. Now, to your point, there was really nothing anybody could do, but I'll be totally honest and tell you that the encouragement, you know, just knowing that folks was thinking about us, people was sending us good vibes, people was, you know, texting, people was praying for us, all that kind of good stuff, man. That helped. I mean, it absolutely did. And like I said, just knowing that people cared made a difference, man. And so that's huge.
Yeah, we were just waiting for you to be like, you know, we need a man up, we need to have a men's circle, we need, you know, bring everybody to the hospital. I mean, we were just waiting for the go cue, man. Something. Just like, it's the go time, let's go. We had all been there.
And I had a feeling that, you know, y'all would have. I was so secure that if we would have asked for anything, any of y'all would have been right in there to do whatever it was, man. It was, you know, one of our good buddies, Jeff, he actually dropped off, he and his wife dropped off some of them big old king-size pillows to the house from, you know, Marshall sells them like two in a pack or whatever for $30 or something. You know, some king-size pillows for when she gets home and just stuff like that. I mean, little stuff, man. And you know, when you do open up, you allow people to do things for you, and to them it might seem small, but to you it's huge because you're just overwhelmed, and you know, and that's the beginning part of it all, is letting people in.
Yeah. Speaking of, we're still waiting for that restaurant list, Kat. We need your restaurant list because we asked for it and he didn't give it to us, so we need to know where we buying gift cards or where we ordering it from.
Dude, I've been so overwhelmed, I mean, you talk about medications running through my head, man. Roblaxin and methasomethin and oxycodones and trivanazines and
speaking a whole new language now.
Dilaudids and all that kind of stuff, man. I had all that stuff rolling around in my head, man. I'm definitely over and just tired. Yeah. And just tired, man.
I mean, I've only spent a few days in a hospital over my life. Thank God. Knock on wood. But even those few times, or even visiting people, it's not a place of rest. It's not a place, you know, I mean, it's supposed to be a place of healing, but how can you heal when you woke up every couple of hours, the beds are uncomfortable, the chairs are uncomfortable, the food is awful?
Ugh. Probably that first week between Sunday, Monday, whatever it was, and Saturday, I probably got a total of about 15 hours of sleep total that whole week.
It's not enough, man.
And then, you know, and she probably got a little bit more than that because she napped sometimes when I was sitting there watching her in pain and all that stuff. But so anyhow, I mean, again, the whole point of this is not woe is me because I wasn't the one in pain. But at the same time, the experience, you know, was impactful on me. And I think, you know, a lot of guys, like I said, go through stuff in general And when we go through stuff in general, man, there's some commonalities, and one of those is we, you know, we think we're in it alone, but you got to open up to people.
Yeah, I mean, no matter what your life is, no matter how your life's going, I mean, the only difference between me and Kirk is time and opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, it, we're all going to go through storms. We're all going to have challenges. We're all going to have trials. Mm-hmm. And when you try to white knuckle it, and most of us, usually through our 20s, sometimes 30s or even longer, we try to white knuckle it. We don't reach out for support. We don't ask, even just to vent. I mean, sometimes all you need to do, you just have somebody you can vent to. Somebody, and usually if you have a group of guys around you, somebody's been through something similar, so they can give you some advice, or they can at least empathize with you because they've had a similar experience. But when you don't say anything, when you attempt to hold it all in, when you just try to white knuckle it and you know, just suck it up, like we keep being told all of our lives, just suck it up, be a man. That's what takes us out. That's not how we be healthy masculinity. It's not how we be healthy men. That's not how we create a healthy environment or a healthy world. We've got to be able to be honest. And that's why having a group of guys around, and if you don't have a group of guys, if you don't have a circle, it's time to get one. And I don't care if it's a church circle, an AA circle, a, you know, just a prayer circle, or just a you know, gym circle. You just got to have a circle of guys around you. And there's for so many reasons, but for a big, huge reason, when the storms of life, when the trials come around, you can have guys around you, at least if nothing else, that you can vent. You can let some of that steam off. You can let some of that energy out so you don't hold it in. Because the body holds on to all that stuff, all that stress, and then it causes sickness, and then it causes disease. And so we wonder why guys die earlier than women, because we're holding on to all this stuff. We're doing the Irish wake thing where we're just trying to stuff it all down and cover it with alcohol and then go, oh, well, I'll be okay. I'll die one day. That'll take care of it. That's not really a good way to go about it.
I experienced exactly what you're talking about in terms of just in the past 48 hours realizing that, man, my body was holding on to all. When we finally got home, finally got a night to sleep in our own bed, man, I woke up sore, like just sore and just drained. Drained like I had been on some kind of a mountainous trek or something like that. And just, I mean, just drained in every kind of way, man. And beyond that, the other point you made was kind of what I was thinking exactly next to, in that before you even get into these storms of life, you need to have a group of guys. You need to have a group of, I'm going to say a group of people. And from a guy's perspective, I'm going to say specifically a group of guys. You know, it's great to have family. It's great to have extended whoever. But you need a circle of guys, too, that can be in the battle with you before you get into that. So you need people who are already rowing in the boat with you when the storm comes up over the horizon, you know, in the seas that surround you. Because, you know, when you're already rowing with some other guys, when you're going through some stuff, those guys are already in it with you. And so, you know, this thing of the past of, you know, us guys being Lone Ranger had Tonto. He wasn't even by himself. You know what I'm saying? G.I. Joe had like a whole group of dudes. I mean, and so, you know, man, we need to come together as guys. We need to lift up. We need to start living life shoulder to shoulder, covering each other's back to back. I got you in this foxhole like Forrest Gump and what's the other dude's name?
Bubba.
You know, where you can sit in the foxhole. You know, you lean against me, I'll lean against you, and we'll hold each other up, and we just talk about shrimp all night. Whatever it is, man, but you got to have that before you go into them battles, man, because otherwise you're going to be screwed.
Yeah, and I think even one of the points that you make, you definitely want to have a group of guys around you outside your family, mm-hmm. because those guys don't have the family dynamic. Those guys don't have a past with you, and those guys will love you just for who you are. So you don't have to deal with all the parental stuff and the bickering with your brothers and sisters or cousins or whatever. You know, there's so much history a lot of times with families. There's very few families that don't have a, you know, unhealthy history out there in the world. So having a group of guys who are just your friends, just your colleagues, just your boys to help support you, because a lot of times your true family is not blood. A lot of times your true family are the people that you meet along the road. So if you have a great family, utilize them. But it's so much better to have more than just the family. So much better to not have to always lean on just your parents or your siblings or, you know, grandparents or whatever, if you even still have them. It's so much better to have that outlet of other guys who actually understand. And that's the biggest thing. It's so counterintuitive, but we all do it. Why do we hold it in, guys? Why do we hide what we're going through when every guy is going through the same thing? It's so amazing how all of us think the same thing. I mean, Kirk, you say it all the time, you know, we all think we're alone on an island. Well, if we really thought about it, it's the most populated island on the world because we're all going through the same thing. But until we say, hey, I'm going through this, the other guys don't know. Like, it's kind of like, you know, the call to arms. How can you even go to war if you don't blow the trumpet or bang the drums or let the army know we're marching? It's like tally ho, you know, gung ho, whatever, we're going into battle. But if you don't say anything, how do we know that we need to be there to support you?
You ain't never been to a boot camp graduation for one person.
Mm-mm.
Never. Not a single one of y'all have ever been to a boot camp graduation for one person. Just don't happen that way. Because you go through stuff together before you even launch into active duty. Before you even get out into the fleet or into the force or into whatever it is out in the troops. You go through all that together. You have all the stories. You got all the camaraderie. You got all the brotherhood. You got all that stuff. And then when you get out into the battle, I mean, man, the uniform just indicates kind of the indoctrination that you had to get you ready for the battlefield. But you go through it together. You go through it with others. And it's like, man, we done all been through the same stuff. Every guy and woman, for that matter, who've ever been to boot camp knows what it's like when that bus pulls up to that building mm-hmm. and them brakes squeal.
Mm-hmm.
When them brakes let out that air, you know what I mean? You pull up there and the bus stops and then it's psss. All of us have experienced that night where, you know, where all that happens. And it's one of them things, man, where you can go back to that and you can relate to that and you can find common ground. But you got to have those experiences. You got to have those people. And like you said, man, sometimes, a lot of times, you know, the closest ones to you, for whatever reasons in the battle, are ones who are not blood relatives, but ones who, I love the fact that you said, don't have the same dynamics, don't have the same history, you know, don't have the same baggage that you have, but come from different backgrounds, different places, but are at the same place now in life.
Yeah, I can't believe you brought up the bus breaks at 3 a.m. once you're getting off the bus at base. Yep. It gives me – I get the chills.
I'm telling you, man, we've all been there.
Because, you know, you're on that bus, and they get you on that bus at, like, midnight, mm-hmm. drive you, like, 2-3 hours to wherever basic is, and then – You falling asleep, yep. and all that stuff. All of a sudden, and then the door opens and that drill instructor comes on and it's on.
We've all experienced that whole thing. And so that's a prime example.
PTSD, man. You're triggering my PTSD.
Dude, we've all been through that. No matter what branch of service you've been in and when, we've all been through that whole thing, man.
Speaking of triggering.
Oh, man.
Time to trigger ourselves a break.
Boom. Mad Men of Masculinity, KLDC, 1220 AM. We'll be right back. Bomb diggity. We've all been there, man.
Yeah. That's one good thing about us having these separate episodes, Lacey, because I had to do timing the other day, and then you had to do all the other stuff when I wasn't here. So I was like, we get to appreciate what each other's job is.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Because I'm telling you, when Zach was here, man, I was like, wait a minute, what do I say? Like, I don't normally say that part. What do I don't normally say that part, man. I mean, wait a minute, how do I – wait a minute, the timing, all that kind of stuff, man. Yeah, it works.
It's funny.
Hey, if you're watching this, if you're watching us live, especially, if you go to the Mad Men page on Facebook.
And on YouTube.
And on YouTube, you can comment. We'll see your comments right on the screen.
YouTube's probably easier. YouTube's just go to Mad Men and Masculine on YouTube.
Yeah, we'll see your comment whenever you put it up there. Yeah. But for sure, if you do it while we're live here, we'll see your comment. JBK will make you famous.
You can become
part of the
show.
But don't make her famous there. She's kind of shy.
Oh, but she's still talking good stuff about you. Man. You are a rock, man. Dude, a true man.
Don't make her. She's kind of shy, man.
Oh,
but you know, she was gloating. She was about me to my mom and all that stuff, man. It has been a bonding kind of thing for us. That's been the other.
Well, that's what we need to talk about. Is why you got to go through Storm's life.
Boom. All right.
Yes. We are the Mad Men,
mm-hmm.
and this is our show.
Yep.
And we are back on the radio.
Yeah, what are you, rapping now? That ain't rapping. That's like some old was, country
that,
music.
That was, well, that was my spoken word thing. Well,
you shouldn't speak them words.
Why you got to be judging me, man?
I ain't judging you. I'm just, you know.
See?
I'm just
trying new things, man.
I'm just keeping it real, man.
Judgy, big Judgerson.
Hey, one of the things that happens when you go through, we talking about this here in a little break, one of the things that happens when you go through storms, when you survive storms, is, you know, you bond. You bond, you connect, you have experiences from the experience that you take forward. And, you know, I can honestly say, just even in the past couple of weeks, man, you know, there's been some bonding experiences between, you know, my wife and I. We got to spend a whole lot of time just sitting there. Just, we had, for whatever reason, in our room, the TV we had one channel. And that one channel only worked half the time. So, I mean, I think they supposed to have like 50-some channels, but for some reason ours, and didn't matter who we told, they said, well, I'll put in a ticket and 2 weeks went by. I'm pretty sure there's somebody in that room right now with the same one channel, but whatever. Anyhow, so we got time to talk and just, you know, connect on some stuff and, you know, just even some, like, again, in the pain spikes, the pain attacks, you know, we got some, you know, just, all right, let's do this together, you know, breathing through it, all that kind of stuff. You know, her dad had a chance to come down. They got a chance to spend several days together. So you have different experiences when you do go through these storms that you can take out of those storms that can move forward in life. And bonding is one of those kind of things.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up even basic training before, because it's having those experiences together, going through those experiences together, no matter what it is. But if it's a trial, if it's a tribulation, if it's, you know, something like a basic or a hospitalization or an accident, or, you know, it's like when I broke my foot and had surgery and you brought me lunch and came over to support me and help me move stuff. I mean, having those experiences together with another person, especially if it's your romantic partner, that's where the glue is. That's where the bonding is. That's where the true love comes in.
Romantic partner? You mean you? Like,
no, I'm talking about you and your romantic partner, man.
Well, you went from the me bringing you stuff to romantic partner.
I'm just in the flow, man.
You was giving me a hard time about the broke back thing a little bit ago. I thought you was broke backing for a minute. When you talk about romantic partner, but, you know, whatever. Man. I'm just clarifying, because I'm sure somebody out there in the Madman Mafia wanted to know if you was connecting the dots between me bringing you lunch and romantic partner.
All right, well, let me digress. Yeah, talk about you and your significant other romantic partner.
That's clear.
Me and my future romantic partner.
That's fair.
Going through these things together is what generates the glue and the longevity and the true love. It's the storms you get through together. I know there was a good friend of mine up in Breckenridge, and he said this to me, and it's something I hang on to because it's such a nugget of truth, is that once you get through a fight, an argument, a disagreement, or some storm of life together, then it starts, you go, oh, well, we got through that together. What else can we get together? And then you start to realize that everything you get through together makes you stronger, builds more love, builds more of that bonding chemical of oxytocin, makes you a stronger couple. And so then you get to a point where you almost start to look forward to the next argument or challenge, because you know that once you get through that, then it's going to be so much better. It's like, you know, why is makeup sex so good? Because you got through whatever that challenge was, and now you got all this oxytocin, you had all these hormones running through your body, and you're like, hey, how about it?
Yeah, we haven't gotten to that point yet. She's still recovering.
Yeah, you have to be
patient. She already know I'm about to bring this up. We had a conversation with the PA, one of the people of the surgery, whatever, and we start talking about some, you know, well, you know, what does it look like? When can we get back to some romanticisms and, you know, all that kind of stuff? And she was like, well, you should probably, you know, take that easy for a while, you know, let her back heal, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, wait a minute, hold up, take that. That's how she got in here, man, you know. I mean, 5 months after being married, she got back surgery. I mean, that should tell you something right there, you know what I'm saying? Now you're telling me I got to, like, chill out? You know, I'm like open throttle or not, man. I can't hold this bull, you know, in the pen.
So basically what you're saying is you got no throttle control, either all gas or none.
All I'm saying is my wife just had some back surgery.
Uh-huh.
You know, talk about broke back. We got her over it. Whatever, man. I digress.
See, now he's trying to take credit for her back injury.
I'm just saying.
See how he is? Like,
can it be coincidence?
Yeah, it probably could
be. Maybe not. I don't know.
She doesn't work a job or she's on her feet 12 hours a day. But it's all you.
We'll wait for the x-rays, the follow-up x-rays and MRIs. Talk to me in a month. And then we'll see if you know, if she needed some follow-ups on that one. But
yeah.
But either way, broke back. I like that, dude. Oh, man. Anyhow. I double digress. Mm-hmm. When you go through some stuff, man, that's when you bond. That's when you know, from a couple perspective, you know, if you're going through something in your relationship, man, if you can make it the thing that you're both fighting against, not fighting against each other. In other words, you know, in a scenario where one of you is in a hospital bed in pain and the other one is there, if you can both come together and make the pain the enemy. You know, if you're in a relationship where, you know, whatever the problem is between the two of you, if you can make that the thing and you can get through that storm together, then there's a whole nother level of bonding because you made it through something that a lot of other people might not have made it through. And so that's one of the huge things that comes out of surviving storms.
Yeah, that's one of the things I think a lot of younger couples now are missing out on. So many are, they don't have the longevity mindset. They don't have the depth of vision to realize that when you have storms, when you have fights, when you have challenges, it's getting through those that makes you a couple. It's getting through those that makes you a family. But everybody's just so, you know, ready to hit the ripcord and hit the eject button and be like, oh, there's a challenge. Oh, we had an argument. I guess we're not meant to be together. Well, you're stupid. I'm just going to put it down that way. You're stupid. You need to realize that it's those things that make you a couple. It's those things that make you partners, and it's those things that create longevity. And it's those things you go through to realize the value of your partner, the true beauty of your partners, watching how they get through things and being like, wow, I didn't know this about them. I didn't know how strong they were, or how wise they were, or, you know, how courageous they were because of how they got through this thing. And you know, if you're just happy-go-lucky every day, just doing the same old thing, and you don't ever have any challenges, you never grow. You don't build the muscle. I mean, resistance training is about lifting heavy weights. And that heavy weight is what makes you stronger and makes you more resilient and makes you fitter. Well, the same thing is in life. When you go through these storms of life, it's going through it. And so many of us, you know, want to have the perfect life, and we want to make sure our kids have the perfect life and they have no challenges. It's the challenges that makes us strong human beings.
When you are able to go through that, and especially to your point, when you're able to go through that with somebody else, when you're able to go through storms with a significant other, a spouse, when you do get to see that person in the midst of the pain, and again, when you don't make it about each other, you know, because there was times where, you know, I could have been like, come on, babe, like, seriously, you know, like, come on, babe, you know, and vice versa. There's times she could have, you know, turned it against me, but when you're
it's able all your
to,
fault.
It's something like, yeah, you know you shouldn't have. Yeah. I told you to whatever.
Take it easy. But all right, Pete Diddy, take it easy.
I told you my leg don't bend. Anyhow, I'm married, man. It's, you know, so anyway,
I digress.
But we triple digress. But when you're able to, you know, to see the beauty in the pain, especially coming out of the storm, as a result of what you learned going into the storm, you begin to see a different beauty in the person that you're with, in the people that you're surrounded by. You begin to see beauty in people as a result of the storms that you go through. When you're able to experience it, when you're able to open up and be intimate and vulnerable in those situations, all those kinds of things. But it's important to allow yourself to do that, because otherwise, to your point, man, you know, if everything is just about lovey-dovey, feely, whatever, man, you ain't going to get through this life without troubles, without ups and downs. Every mountain is surrounded by valley. Every valley is surrounded by mountains. And so you ain't going to go through this journey of life and not experience mountains and valleys. And so when you go through that, man, when you go through those experiences and you learn all the lessons, you learn about each other, you actually see that person, you know, in the mountain, in the valley, and then you're able to come out through it on the other side, man, it is a blessing. It is a gift.
Yeah, when you're going through hell, keep going. Mm-hmm. And grab hands and go together. Because we've said it, I don't know how many times, and most guys, they're trying to go fast alone. But if you want to go far, you go together.
Yeah.
You slow it down. You work it out one step before the other and support each other. Because a lot of times, I know for a lot of us guys, we quit because we don't have somebody with us. We quit because we don't see the point. We quit because we're like, I don't understand why I'm going through this, and I don't see any reason to go through this. I'm just going to get out of here. It's because you don't have somebody there with you. And if you don't have a significant other, have a group of guys. They will go through that storm with you. And the more of those things you go together, and it's, you know, if it's your turn now, accept it. Don't resist it, because guess what? It's going to be somebody else's turn in the future, and then they get to support you. And so you're just paying it forward. You're just tithing your energy and your love to that individual and to the group. So don't think that just because it's your turn now that somehow you're less than or whatnot. It's going to be there, somebody else's turn soon. And so having the wherewithal and having the humbleness and the constitution just say, hey, my turn. I mean, you can even make it a joke. Oh, my turn. I need support. I need help. I'm going through hell and I need somebody to walk through it with me.
Even if you wanted to kind of simplify the metaphor, the word picture, the scenario, I'm talking just even helping somebody move, right? I mean,
why y'all gonna bring that up?
Because I'm bringing that up. You know exactly where I'm going. Helping somebody move, man, and you help somebody move, and you know, and then you're able to be there for somebody. You're able to allow somebody to be there for you, and then you allow for the opportunity for reciprocity, for reciprocation down the line. But it's, I mean, not about like a tit for a tat, but you have skin in the game. That's the whole point. You know, we have skin in the game with each other because we've been there. We've done some stuff together. And that's, you know, to your point even, that's where longevity comes in. But without those experiences, we have no longevity because more often than not in our culture, we seek to be a mile wide and an inch deep. Mm-hmm. But when you're able to live life, especially through the storms, an inch wide and a mile deep, then, you know, when the storms come through, they don't blow out all the water that's trapped in there because it's a mile deep, even though it's only an inch wide.
Yeah, if you want to get deep, it's time to get in the trenches, get in the mud with each other, and walk through those quagmires together. And sometimes the only way you get through it is by having somebody go with you, having somebody there with you. And it doesn't have to be all these huge things, like even just moving. Something like that. I don't know how many times I've moved by myself, and it's every time it's the same thing. Like, nobody's going to want to help me because nobody likes moving. And so just having the courage to say, hey, I need help, and then allowing somebody to help you, that's the biggest thing, is first acknowledging I need help and then allowing somebody to help you. So many of us may be good at one, but we're not good at the other. It's like, oh, I need help, but don't worry about it. I got this, you know. We need to be able to say, I need support, and then allow somebody to support us because we don't realize the gift we're giving them. And if we're true friends, they'll tell you, I don't have time or I can't do it, but so let me call so-and-so. They will support you however they can. So don't feel bad if you ask somebody and they can't. Maybe they'll support you in some other way, but you have to be willing to say, I need support, and allow them to support you. I mean, it's law of attraction, it's manifestation, it's all those things. You need to put out what you need to make that request, and they'll allow for it to come to you.
It's okay for us as men to need stuff. It's okay for us as men to need support. It's okay for us as men to need encouragement. It's okay for us as men to need a hug, you know, to just need to vent. You know, when we can vent in healthy ways, there's ways that you can vent with a guy that you can't vent with your wife. Yeah. You know, I don't care what nobody says. I mean, yeah, your wife can be all in bag of Skittles, you know, but at the same time, she probably is not a man. She probably has never been a man, but these days you don't know. Just saying. But there's ways that you can open up to your guys that you may not be able to open up to her, and vice versa.
Yep.
You know, but when you have needs as a man, and when you open up and allow those needs to be known, then you allow those needs to be met, as opposed to just acting like we don't have any needs at all. But speaking of needs,
do we need to take a break?
We need to take a break.
Man, I had something to say.
Well, are we coming back?
All right,
we'll come back. We got one more segment. We'll be right back. Mad Men of Masculinity, KLDC. Boom.
It's time for that home stretch, y'all. Get your questions in. Get your comments in. We'll make you famous.
All I'm saying is,
yeah, 13 seconds.
It can never be said, or it can always be said, put it that way, that 5 months after we got married, my wife needed back surgery. I'm just saying, dude, don't play with me. You know what I'm saying? You can't play with this up here. You know what I'm saying? I'll send you to an OR. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I mean,
I sure hope you gave that dad joke to Kat, and she is aware of it, because that's some dad jokeness.
She's aware of
it. Oh, my
man.
Goodness.
It's true, though. I mean, hey, we got medical records. You know what I'm saying? We got medical records.
So there was no pre-existing condition.
I did all that, dude.
All that.
I did all that. You know, I did all that. I did all that, man. I was coming with the thunder, boy. I came through there like, you know what I'm saying?
Hey,
and the children of Israel came right up through there.
Can we talk about something on the radio? We didn't even talk. I want to hear about this. Make me all uncomfortable over here.
That's how your boy get out. Your boy be sending him to the emergency room.
I'm sorry, Kat. I'm sorry. You got to.
Your boy be doing it. Anyhow,
I'm so glad you got out of the house. Smack you in your big forehead.
See, this is what you get when you lock me up for 2 weeks, man. You lock me up in a room for 2 weeks, I can't talk to nobody, man. Oh, this is what you get right here. You know what I'm saying?
Just let it out.
Keep it real. Let it out. Letting it all out. That's how she got up in the hospital.
Speaking of letting it out, let's finish this segment out.
Tanner can go home. Tanner's like, man, y'all idiots. I want to get home with my fresh haircut. Oh, man, I feel cheated on.
See, now this is the time we need to have you on the podcast, because you can't say rude stuff like that and just get away with it.
Man, do you know how broken my heart is right now? Just so, because y'all probably didn't hear this. Mm. Our man Tanner right now, during this show, our producer is listening to Joe Rogan podcast. Mm. As we're up here doing our thing, throwing down.
Et tu, Brute?
I'm telling you, boy. God, man.
Just in it. Right in there.
He put it right up in between the ribs and twisted, man. Man.
See, we talk about. See, it's hard for the madmen out here.
It's hard, man. You know, it's hard, man. It's hard.
Even our own team don't care.
God. For real, he got a fresh haircut and everything, man.
That's it. You can get no more compliments from me.
Giving likes Speedy. To Joe Rogan.
Speedy. Start calling him Speedy.
All right, here we go.
Yes, we are back.
Yep.
We got Mutiny in the studio.
Oh, it's Mutiny.
Our own producer is not even watching our show.
Our own producer right now is listening to some other famous podcast.
No, you can say it. It's Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan's podcast.
I understand. He's the biggest podcast in the world. It's okay.
It's us competing against Joe Rogan.
Man, in our own studio.
We fought the law and the law won.
Man.
In our own studio, man.
Just right in
our
the heart.
Backyard.
You feel that? Just right in the heart. Just twist it.
Wow.
Twist it. That's right. You know, we have aspirations. Ooh. We want to get up on there on the Joe Rogan level, but
that's like pulling out Aunt Jemima when you got Mrs. Butterworth ready on the counter. Man, that's rough, dude. I don't know where that came from. That's rough, dude.
I prefer Aunt Jemima than the butter. But
do you?
Know. Yeah, I don't like all the extra butter.
You don't like
flavor. I like real butter flavor, not that imitation.
But
butter.
But they got
flavor.
Aunt Jemima ain't buttery.
No, Aunt Jemima. Well, I think they have the two different. I don't know.
Is there a butter-flavored Aunt Jemima?
I'm sure there is.
I don't know. Mrs. Butterworth ain't really buttery, is it? That's just her name, right?
No, that's why it's Butterworth, because she got extra the butter flavor in there.
For real?
Yeah.
I just thought that was what they called it. No?
Man.
Oh, man.
I have no idea. Somebody Google that and let us know.
Somebody find out, man.
Somebody let us know, because we just went off script.
Help us out, man.
We were supposed to be talking about something profound, and we're over here getting... Et tu, Brute?
That's because our producer is
he just threw us off track.
I mean, he just
derailed the entire show.
For real, he's messing us up big time, man.
So speaking of surviving storms, sometimes storms happen right in the middle of what you're doing, and you got to survive that storm, usually in partnership with your buddy.
I promised at the beginning I was going to come back with the whole Rockies thing.
Oh, the Rockies thing.
Oh, they already started, dude. They're four or five games into the season, dude.
Oh, so it's just opening day here.
They had a four-game series of the Diamondbacks.
Okay.
First one was 16-1. They got mercy ruled. Opening game. Right, they played today, man. They lost to the Cubs.
Do we got the Colorado T-Ball League playing for us?
What's going on? Tomorrow too, but yeah. So anyhow.
Ouch.
Yeah, our opening day is the 5th.
So, ladies and gentlemen, here in the Denver Mile High area, we're all going to be going through the storm of the Rocky season once again.
This year is going to be different.
So let's grab hands and walk through hell together. Just saying.
So they won 1 out of 4 against the Arizona, and then they lost today against Chicago. Anyway. Storms. We're talking about storms of life, man. It's kind of stormy up in here right now because Tanner's in there listening to
I had this whole thing I wanted to talk about. It's just gone out my head now. I don't even remember what I was talking about. Oh, now I remember.
Yeah.
It's not just okay for you to have emotions and go through things. Yeah. It's necessary. And it's necessary for us to be willing to say, I'm going through things.
Mm-hmm.
It's the biggest detriment to mankind right now for all men. For all of us to try to suck it up and be like, oh, it's just me. I'm on an island. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
And it's not true, number one. And you're not alone. You're not the only one going through this. Every guy is going through it or will go through it. And it's about us supporting each other and making us more healthy, making us more masculine by going through this stuff together. Walk through the mud together, shoulder to shoulder, go through the storms of life together, get through the other side, become stronger. You'll gain more wisdom because you get educated. Every storm, I guarantee you, Kirk's got a whole new pharmaceutical education and hospital rhetoric. He knows everything now because he's been in there 2 weeks and but you gain wisdom from these things. They might not be the funnest thing. Like, I guarantee you, both of us are very happy we went through basic training and AI school and all the stuff in the military. Don't want to do it again. Once was good enough, but I'm very happy that I did it.
Yeah. Learned a lot, man. I learned what a pure wick is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should go look that up if you don't know.
Don't want to know
that. You probably don't want to know.
Don't
but
know that.
Learned a whole lot of things, man, about how hospitals work and things that happen, especially, the difference between men and women and a lot of those kinds of things. And you just learned a lot of things, man.
Oh.
But But man, you know, you got to go through some stuff in order to learn these things.
Sorry, I had an aha moment because I remember, gentlemen, the reason you need other men is because the way women de-stress stresses men out. The way men de-stress stresses women out. So you got to make sure you have men around you so that you can de-stress the way you de-stress, which usually means doing something physical. Ladies de-stress by talking it out. Mm. And usually in our romantic relationships and our, you know, special relationships, not us, you and your wife, in our special romantic relationships, if we're trying to help our woman de-stress, we're stressing out because we as men want to fix it. We are doers. We want to fix whatever it is, and she just needs to express. So that's why men and women need to have their groups so that sometimes as a good, healthy man, you need to look at your woman and go, baby, I love you. You need to go talk to your girlfriend because I'm freaking out trying to help you de-stress. I need you to, you need to express this. You need to tell the story. All I want to do is help you and fix you and put out the fire. Go see your girlfriends and vice versa, ladies. Don't try to help your man de-stress and do all that stuff because it's not the way you do it. He does it a different way, so send him off to his boy so he can de-stress properly.
Dude, these are facts. These are facts, dude. She's in the bed. You know, she wants to describe the pain and talk it out, and she wants to, like, is hurting this way and is feeling like this, and I just want to do this to get rid of the pain, and it's just, she's going into all the details, and she's, and the whole time, I'm just melting down, dude. I'm just like, I can't take it, man. I can't take it, because, yeah, for us, it's just the opposite, you know, and I had to learn to just lean in and just let her do that and let her vent. And, you know, breathe with her when she would listen and just be there when she wouldn't. But completely the opposite, yeah, because I ain't sitting there describing the pain. I'm doing something about the pain. Yeah. But, you know, it was totally the opposite from her perspective. And so I had to learn how to do it. So, you know, so again, the part of the takeaway is learning. You know, I learned that. I learned that about our level, you know, how we do things between the two of us, how she processes, how I process. And man, I'm telling you, I mean, it probably aged me just being in there listening to all the different metaphors and descriptions of what type of pain it was and all this other kind of stuff. You know, in the hospital, they want to know where's your pain, you know, what scale, 1 to 10, all that kind of stuff. And she would be screaming and writhing in pain and just describing, you know, the stabbing, the pressure, and all this other kind of stuff. And they would ask her, you know, where's your pain, what number? And she would say, oh, about a 6 or 7. I'm like, what? I mean, you doing all of this up in here? You screaming, crying. We getting IV, Dilaudid, all this other kind of nonsense. And they ask you where your pain at, and you say about 6, 7. I'm like, man.
See, even ladies try to suck it up and be, dude, like, yo, I got this. I got it,
man. If that was me, man, son, I'm telling you. But yeah, you're right about that in terms of just the different ways we process and stuff, and that's why we do need. You know, guys need men, ladies need women. There are some ways that we're different, and we got to accept that.
Yeah, I was watching something, and they talked about, so this will let us guys off the hook. So gentlemen, realize the reason ladies don't like us picking out colors, because we literally do not see the spectrum of colors ladies see. They have something in their brain or in their eyes. They literally can see a spectrum of colors we cannot see. So when they're like, that's not green, that's whatever, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Just let yourself off the hook, gentlemen. We can't see it. We cannot see the same thing, and we do not feel the same things that they do. We do not use the same descriptive terms that they do, because Lord have mercy, if you ever walked in on a girl's night at the wrong time, you're going to hear some descriptive words that you never want to hear.
You let my wife describe how her back got broken. You don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that, dude.
Actually, I would like to hear her be like, sure, it was you. Sure, it was you.
She better tell it right. She better tell it the way.
Did you write it down for her? Like, here, baby, say this.
Like this. This is how you tell it. When the story go down, this is how you say the story went down. This is how it went down. You know what I'm saying?
So basically, you had a tit for tat. Like you said, hey, since I'm staying in the hospital for 2 weeks, you're going to have to, like, boost up my ego?
We're going to, yeah. Yes. That's okay. Exactly it. That was the deal we made.
That's all right. See, you got to make those deals in marriage. You got to make those deals in relationships. Like, you know, you got to work it out.
Man, when we go through stuff, man, when you go through these storms, you got to be willing to go through them together. You got to have people around you. You got to be willing to open up. You got to be willing to share. You got to be willing to let people in. You got to be willing to be vulnerable. You got to be willing to be present and learn the lessons and just believe that when you come out of the other side, you're going to be better than when you went in, man. I mean, even when you feel overwhelmed, when you feel underqualified, when you feel et cetera, you know, you just got to know that, man, you know, that you're going to come out better because you're going to be stronger. You know, you're going to – I mean, and to be totally honest, you know, I even had to force myself to have a moment of gratitude and to say, you know what, not everybody gets to walk out of the hospital with their spouse. And so I needed to recognize that I was being able to walk out of the hospital with my spouse after 2 weeks, and not everybody can say that. And so I had to be thankful for that and thankful that we made it through that together. And that's one thing that we can look back on as to if we overcame that, we can overcome this.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the collateral beauty of going through the storms and going through the storms together with your guys, with your family, with your significant other, with just, you know, the people in your tribe, because it's through those storms that you gain the wisdom, you gain the experience, you have these connected experiences together. Because I mean, just listening to you talk about, yeah, that was a horrific thing to go through and having to be in the hospital. But the way you guys learned to communicate, the way you guys, you know, just the experience of going through that together and having that together, like now you're better off for having that experience. And it sounds kind of messed up because it's like, oh, well, I broke her back and she's got a messed up back and now we got to go to the hospital and have surgery. But it made us closer. It made us better. So, I mean, yeah, don't avoid the storms of life. Mm-hmm. Don't create any more of them. I mean, you don't want to just be a drama king or queen and just create mess just to have it. But
well, I can't say we ain't going back. I mean, I can't say, you know, the same thing ain't going to happen. They fixed it the first time, you know. If they would have put a rod in there or fused it, we, you know, might be safer. But they decided it didn't go.
Make sure you get the suspension one this time. Yeah, Go-Go gadget back, so that way you don't break it.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like a Tesla, man, full torque. You know what I'm saying? You push that pedal, man. We going.
It's insanity mode.
Zero to, you know what I'm saying? But you know you're gonna learn all that stuff. And yeah, I mean, I obviously, you know, try to pepper this with some humor, but. You know, but when we go through stuff, man, there's some guys out there that are going through some serious things right now, man. And just know that you're not alone. Know that you can reach out. You know that you can holler at us, man. We real people. We respond to emails and text and all that kind of stuff, man. And we don't do this for us. We do this for you. I mean, quite honestly, you know, we come here, we record this, we put everything we put into this, not because we're walking away with a whole lot of, you know, a whole lot of extra tangible things. We do this for the men who are out there who need some level of encouragement. And to whoever that guy is, I can tell you, man, you know, I'm with you, man. You're doing the best you can, and that's the best you can do. And you'll be all right.
We're asking you and we're pleading with you. Send us a message. Send us an email. I would much rather hear from a man who's struggling than get more spam and more of these, you know, scammers trying to get our platform and to get our mailing list. Like, I would much rather talk to a man who's in struggle, who needs support, than dealing with all the scammers and stuff, because that's pretty much all we get. We get a bunch of scammers trying to steal our information and our mailing list. But we're here for you guys. We're here for the men in struggle. We're here for the women in struggle. We're here for the families in struggle. We're here to share everything that we've experienced, everything we've learned with you, and go through this life together.
You're not alone. Don't think you're alone. Don't let any crazy voice in the back of your head tell you you're alone. You are in it with some brothers, and we are in it with you, man. And so reach out to us, you know, and we'll be there for you, man. We'll be there.
Make sure you like and subscribe. Hit the little bell icon so you know when we're posting again. And if you need to get a hold of us, both of our websites and our names are right there at the bottom. Or if you know, want to take a bigger look, go to madmenradio.com. You'll find us both there as well.
Boom.
And we love you, and we support you. And until next time, the madmen of masculinity are out.
That was exactly.